Before considering Father's Flowers and Solstice, I remind us that our Muslim friends began the holy month of Ramadan this week. Nothing to eat or drink, nothing all day long, every day for a month. And the days are so long in this hemisphere at this time of year. Rudy Lopez of the Interfaith Workers Justice reminds us that Ramadan is not just about fasting from food and drink, it's also a blessed opportunity to look inward, practice discipline, and make space for connections and relationships that matter. That said, a rule they teach in seminary classes about sermon writing and preaching is to have one topic. Any more, we're told, and it gets confusing to the listeners and to the writer. Well, 2 weeks ago, I had two themes, one recognizing and celebrating our children's faith development program, its importance to all of us, and two, the blessing we receive and return to the other animals with which we share this amazing planet. This week, here I am with three, count them, three subjects to weave together. Our Unitarian Universalist celebration of what flowers can teach us about community, a celebration of those who father us, and a celebration of the summer solstice. Celebrate, celebrate, and celebrate some more in the face of all else in our world. We celebrate. And why not? If there's so much that brings us joy that it gets confusing, that's all the better. Following the tradition started in the years before World War II by the Czech Unitarian Norbert Chopek, we have brought flowers from our world. We bring the blooms together in this place and we wonder at the beautiful bouquet they form. Then, at the end of our service, we'll each take a flower home. Good symbols. Just as we bring all that we are to this place, our true beliefs, our joys, our sorrows, our hopes, as with the individual flowers, we bring all that is our individual lives, and we see the bouquet our lives together form. We see how we can be together, what we can do for ourselves, for our children, for our world. And just as we really do each week in our services, we in this ritual symbolically take a bit of what we have shared with us out into the world and we share it further. I was introduced to the UU flower ceremony as being, well, a uniquely UU ritual. Well, live and learn. I haven't told this story in several years, and we have new members and friends here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship who haven't heard it, and some may like to be reminded, and I know it's good for me, so here goes. One summer Sunday morning, I was walking along a river in the town where I was living in Germany, and I heard a brass band. Now, brass band music is not all that unusual in Germany, but it was coming from a fairground, and this was Sunday morning. So the fair was not yet running. So, curious, I walked past the quiet rides and the closed stands that would later that day be selling various calorie and cholesterol-filled treats. I followed the music to a huge tent. Under the eaves of the tent, there were the closed concessions which the night before had sold Bier und Bratwurst. Giant posters from one of the local breweries hung all around. And it turned out that at the far end of the tent, the Catholics and Lutheran/Reformed church members of the town were holding a combined worship service, which included the music of a brass band. Possibility for the worship committee. I looked at the beer posters and thought that this was kind of a strange place to be holding a church service. I took a seat at one of the picnic tables just inside the entrance of the tent and watched what was happening down at the far end. After the band finished playing, one of the clergy, I'm not sure which one he was, he came to the podium and began by saying, "You probably think this tent with all the beer posters is a strange place to be holding a church service." Oh, I thought, this guy is good. Well, he was. His homily was about the joys of being a Christian. He pointed out that at the wedding in Cana, when Jesus of Nazareth was told about the dwindling wine supply, that he had not said, "Go home, you bunch of drunks." He had not said, "You've been partying for 3 days, that's enough." Instead, Jesus did what he did was to produce more wine so the party could go on. And the minister gave other examples of the joys and celebrations of Christian life. Then he brought a bucket of flowers to the front of the stage, and he invited everyone in the congregation to come forward and take a flower. The people began shuffling forward. The mayor of the town positioned himself next to the bucket and handed flowers to the ladies with a lot of smiling and small talk. Politicians are the same the world over. And as the people were making their way back to their seats, the minister called out, "Wait, wait, don't keep your flower." He said, "Give it to someone else. Our faith is a gift given to us." He said that it is a joy that we are to give away to others. So he said, "Give your flower to someone else as a symbol of the joy we share." Well, there was more hubbub as people exchanged their flowers. And one woman brought her flower down the aisle, all the way to the back of the tent, where this American was sitting alone at a picnic table. In the 1930s, Norbert Čapek was minister to a large congregation in Prague, what was then Czechoslovakia. He devised the worship service, which we have come to call the flower ceremony or the flower communion. We celebrate it here every year. Every UU congregation I've ever been part of has celebrated a flower ceremony. Now, I don't know if the German minister had ever heard of Norbert Čapek. The version of the flower ceremony in the beer tent was a bit different from the Czech Unitarians, and so is ours, come to think of it. But the spirit of the ceremony, the ritual, the communion was there, realizing the beauty from many, seeing it, touching it. It's there. The sharing is there. And now I get to the easy part, linking flowers to the solstice. Yes, here it is. The longest day of the year on our half of the planet. Our sun is as high in the sky as it's going to get. In New Hampshire, there is this saying heard frequently in January and February, that as the days get longer, the cold gets stronger. I'm sure there's some similar wisdom in rhyme for how much hotter we can expect our shortening days to get for a while, until cool and crisp and cold are again with us, till the green leaves and bright fragrant flowers are no longer with us. If nothing else, and there is so much more, but if the summer solstice gave us nothing else, we would celebrate its predictability. We can count on this day every year. We know and enjoy the constantly changing seasons and the weather and the flora and the fauna that come and go with them. We, at this latitude, can know that it is thankfully not always going to be hot. It's not always going to be cold. The best part of summer solstice may be that we don't have to do anything to make it happen. It's just another part of our amazing world. That said, the summer solstice, along with all that is the reality of climate on our planet, the solstice can remind us of our part, our responsibility to ourselves, to our children, to all of our sisters and brothers in this world, to all the parents, to preserve and restore a livable climate on our earth. Unlike Father's Day and Mother's Days and Memorial Days and Christmases and all the red ink on our calendars, the summer solstice will be as long as the earth is. And we humans, almost uniquely, have some part in determining what will be happening on this day, on this planet, in its future. I've been in congregations where the flower ceremony is a spring event, sharing joy with Easter flowers and eggs. In Norbert Čapek's church, the celebration was held in the summertime, the way we do it here. It works well in summer. Each member of Norbert Čapek's congregation was to bring a flower to church. And because it was summer, they could bring flowers from their gardens. They brought flowers from fields and roadsides. as each person arrived at church, his or her flower was put into a large container. Now remember, Norbert Chapek had put together a congregation of thousands. Imagine. The people's flowers were put together in a huge container. Picture that. Picture all those summer flowers. Picture that bouquet. And look, the symbol making of a bouquet works for a group of our size too. What a ceremony. At the moment, at just the right moment, in the service, Norbert Chapek's, in the service, the bouquet of flowers was brought to the front of the sanctuary by the children of the Sunday school. A blessing was said, and later each person was invited to take home a flower, a different flower from the one he or she had brought. What a wonderful symbol. What a great bequest from Norbert Chapek. The gifts and talents we bring together as a congregation, as a faith community, form a beautiful bouquet, so much more than any one's individual flower. And we take that beauty with us when we leave this building. We take it home with us. We take it into the world with us. We share our living faith. And our annual flower ceremony is a chance to celebrate the life of the Czech Unitarian martyr, Norbert Chapek, and remember that piece of our UU heritage. Back to me, sitting at the back of the beer tent in Germany on a sunny summer Sunday, holding a flower which had been carried to me. I had tears in my eyes that someone had thought to include me in the church service, that I, a UU, could link the distribution and redistribution of flowers as a symbol of shared faith, that I could link it to a ceremony in my own faith tradition, even there, in a to me foreign country. Connection, communion. So how do we combine fathers and flowers and solstice? Well, by what we do and say and sing here and share here whenever we come together. We realize and celebrate all we humans have in common and hold up for all to see the inherent worth and dignity of every person and our part in the interdependent web of all existence. This past week, Maggie and I mailed off a Father's Day card. One of the great joys of my life of late is watching our son, Glenn, being a father. He shows so much obvious enthusiasm and happiness in how he plays and cares and teaches and admonishes our three grandchildren. He and I were talking about being a father. What a realization that here I was having a conversation about parenting with the person who calls me dad. Anyway, I was complimenting him on what a good job he's doing with his kiddos, especially since he has me, the experience of me, in the father role. I, an only child who was raised by a single mother, I said I felt I was fathering him without having had a model for the task, that I was making it up as I went along. He said, "That's what we all do." So to all, of whatever gender, of any relationship, who has fathered or is fathering or will father a child, I pass along the wisdom of our son. We were or are or will be making it up as we go along. So happy Father's Day. And rather than a Barco lounger or a power tool or a tie, and rather than just for the fathers among us, in just a minute, we all will partake of the gifts of this summer season. We'll each come forward and take one of the flowers that we have brought for us to share. Just a minute. And let us remember what the bringing and combining and receiving these flowers can represent. A faith we create together and share with our children and with the world. Happy Father's Day and happy solstice and happy summer. So be it, and amen.